From Vermont Public Radio, this is The Frequency. I'm Anna Van Dyne.
And I'm Henry Epp. It's Friday, April 10th. Coming up, why some Vermont hospitals are laying off staff in the midst of a global health emergency, and more concerns about the survival of the state's shrinking dairy industry.
Pretty much all of the markets that they had dried up overnight.
Also, a congressman, a log, and a splitting mall. But first, the headlines.
There are now 628 people who have tested positive for COVID-19 in Vermont. 33 people are currently hospitalized with the disease. To date, 23 people have died. 8 of the new reported cases are residents of Birchwood Terrace, a nursing facility in Burlington. More than 8,000 people have been tested in Vermont so far.
The University of Vermont is allowing nursing students to graduate a few weeks early to bolster the ranks of healthcare workers. The state licensing board is offering the students temporary work permits so they can start now and take their tests later. One of these students is Catherine Colisti. She already has a job lined up at UVM Medical Center.
May is going to be a hectic month. I'm moving. I'm trying to study for my boards. I'm going to have some form of a graduation ceremony. That's still up in the air. So I'm hoping to work with them and just get in there as soon as I possibly can.
State officials are closely monitoring a possible increase in suicides in Vermont due to COVID-19. While the number of people who died by suicide in March was about the same as it was a year ago, Public Safety Commissioner Michael Sherling said after several deaths this past weekend, the department became concerned about a possible trend. If you are experiencing thoughts of suicide, Vermont has a crisis text line. Text VT to 741-741 or call the national hotline 1-800-273-8255.
And now let's turn our focus to Vermont's dairy industry. The state lost about 140 dairy farms in the past 2 years. This week, Agriculture Secretary Anson Tebbets told Vermont Edition that the remaining 650 or so farms could all be in jeopardy if the pandemic continues to force businesses and schools to close. The price per hundredweight of milk is now about $15.80. That's about $5 to $7 less than what it costs to produce it. Here's part of Tebbets' conversation with Vermont Edition host Jane Lindholm earlier this week.
The outlook is not great. Initially, there was some activity where there was a lot of processing that was happening, mainly as people went to their supermarkets and started buying dairy. But that has changed dramatically over the last week to 10 days. And there is a dumping going on across the nation, including Vermont, where there is just not a place to market that dairy at this time.
What exactly is being dumped? Because it's not all milk and, you know, it's not all producers and not all farmers.
Yeah, for the most part, it's raw product and it's milk. There are a number of cheesemakers that are at risk in Vermont as well. As we all know, we have a wonderful artisan cheese industry in Vermont. A number of those are at risk at this point. Keep in mind, pretty much all of the markets that they had dried up overnight. The shutdown of the schools, restaurants, coffee shops, cheesemakers, and the milk processors were left with no market, and that happened pretty much overnight, and those markets are still closed as we speak today.
It's a hard thing to have a sudden fallout of the bottom. You know, I just can't imagine what farmers are feeling right now watching these milk prices and trying to figure out what is next. What are you telling them?
Well, we've put together a team at the Agency of Agriculture to talk about, economic recovery, both getting through these next few days and next few weeks, but also long term. We are asking USDA to take a few steps immediately to help stabilize the industry in Vermont. And one of those would be to buy up all the cheese that's available that's in inventory. So USDA does have the authority to do that. We've asked Secretary Sonny Perdue to do that. We hope that he'll take action. Other states as well are asking him to take this action. And I think that would also help our dairy farmers immediately. Another action that we're asking the Secretary to implement over the next 4 months, April, May, June, and July, is establish a minimum price of at least $19.50. That would be basically the cost of production in the East for our farmers. That would settle things down, keep farmers in business, and maybe these markets would return over time, and we would not be faced with dumping milk and so forth. So that's a couple of things that we've asked them to do. We're really proud of our dairy farmers, of what they're doing. This is heartbreaking for them. There's a spill effect for this if dairies are to close. They support a number of industries in Vermont, from the grain dealers to fertilizer to the mom-and-pop shores, the small towns. They also provide a tremendous benefit to our tourism industry, and our visitors come to Vermont because of its beauty, and our farmers are, for the most part, responsible for that beauty in many sections of Vermont. So there's a lot at stake here. If we don't stabilize the dairy industry in Vermont and the region, and we have support from New Hampshire, also from Massachusetts, also Connecticut and Rhode Island, and I know New York and Pennsylvania are going to send their own letters asking the U.S. Secretary to take emergency actions.
Okay, so quick recap. The Agency of Agriculture is asking the USDA to establish a minimum price of $19.50 per hundredweight of milk to stabilize the dairy market, and they're asking the USDA to buy all the cheese that's available.
Like dairy farms, some of Vermont's hospitals were struggling financially even before the COVID-19 pandemic. And now that hospitals have been forced to cancel most procedures to handle the health crisis, their financial picture is growing increasingly grim. Springfield Hospital recently got an emergency $1.3 million lifeline from the state, and other hospitals are even laying off workers and applying for lines of credit to keep their doors open. To help us sort through what hospitals are coping with, I spoke to reporter Howard Weiss-Tisman, and I asked him first to just remind us how smaller hospitals in Vermont were doing financially before the pandemic hit.
Right. So about a year and a half ago, you know, the news came out that Springfield Hospital had lost about $14 million in the previous 2 years. State regulators, you know, they started looking closer at how other hospitals were doing, and it wasn't just Springfield that was losing money. Last year, six of Vermont's 14 hospitals lost money, and it's a real complicated combination of factors that have led to the losses. Vermont's workforce shortage means there aren't enough nurses and doctors. So hospitals have to hire traveling nurses and doctors, and they're much more expensive. Vermont increased its Medicaid system under Obamacare, and there are a lot more people on Medicaid now, and hospitals say they're not being paid enough.
Yeah. Well, so now the COVID-19 pandemic is here, and it's, of course, putting a big strain on our healthcare system generally. So on the financial side for these hospitals, how is it impacting them here in Vermont?
Yeah, so all of the hospitals, you know, they've put their elective surgeries on hold, and they're reducing the number of outpatient visits to make sure all their resources go toward dealing with the pandemic. To put it quite simply, you know, it means there's not much money coming in. So the hospitals that were already stressed, like Springfield, they have very little cash and some really big bills to pay right now. And as you mentioned, Springfield got a $1.3 million loan recently. And Human Service Secretary Mike Smith told me Grace Cottage Hospital in Townsend also asked for an emergency loan. So Smith said the state's using Medicaid money it has as a kind of advance. You know, but he made it clear that there's a limit to just how much money he has to use to extend the lifeline to an already stressed out system.
We don't have an endless supply of money. And at some point, we're going to have to talk about appropriations. But for right now, we're in an emergency situation where we are advancing money to these various entities. And we will circle back with the legislature at a time that's most appropriate.
Okay, so it's a pretty bleak picture financially for these hospitals. And so the state is trying to help. But I mean, what about the regulatory side? Are they reacting to these challenges in any way?
Yeah, they're trying to help out. What they've told me is that basically they're trying to stay out of the way. Before the pandemic, the Green Mountain Care Board, that's the regulatory body that oversees hospital budgets, they were trying to get the hospitals that were most at risk to put together these sustainability plans. And that was a way to kind of get the hospitals to look at the long view and try to get them to think about a way of right-sizing the hospital, the state's hospital system. And so I asked Mike Smith, you know, how he feels about lending Springfield Hospital more than $1 million when the hospital already has too much debt and is trying to emerge from bankruptcy. And this is what Smith told me.
Right now, let's make sure that our healthcare system doesn't collapse, basically, and let's make sure that our healthcare system is there for us as we deal with this crisis.
And so those are strong words, you know, making sure our system doesn't collapse. But for a lot of hospitals, it's real. Money's very tight.
Yeah. Well, finally, Howard, what do we know about the federal relief package, that $2 trillion package that went through Congress a few weeks ago? Is there anything in there that could help rural hospitals here in Vermont? And is the state doing anything else to provide help?
Yeah, there's definitely money in the federal plan, but anyone I've spoken to doesn't really understand at this point just how much Vermont is going to get and when that money is going to arrive. So, you know, the situations at Springfield and at Grace Cottage, those hospitals, they need cash now to keep their doors open. And they didn't even have cash on hand to wait for the federal money. The state's been in close contact with the hospitals. Lawmakers are talking about it. But right now, there hasn't been any state package put together. So I think the congressional delegation, state lawmakers, hospital officials are all trying to wrap their heads around this federal package, try to understand when Vermont's going to get the money, how much they're going to get, and then they're going to kind of take it from there.
That's VPR's Howard Weiss Tisman. Howard, thanks so much.
All right, Henry. Thank you.
Now, a quick look at the Eye on the Sky forecast. Yes, it is April 10th, but northern areas and the mountains could see some snow today. Just a trace in the valleys, but 1 to 4 inches possible in the hills and mountains. Highs today in the 30s and 40s.
And if you're looking to get involved with the journalism we do here at VPR, there's a voting round going on right now for an upcoming episode of our podcast, Brave Little State. That's the show where listeners submit questions and vote on which question we answer next.
The questions currently up for a vote are:
can we hear some stories of resilience in the face of the coronavirus?
If food shortages become a reality, would Vermont farms be able to feed the population?
And how did Vermont entertain itself in the old days? You can vote on which question you want to hear Brave Little State tackle next, as well as listen to older episodes of the podcast at our website, vpr.org.
And now, apropos of absolutely nothing, here's some sound from a video that Congressman Peter Welch posted of himself engaging in his favorite social distancing activity, splitting a log.
Let's see if I still know how to split a log.
Sounds like he does. Let's listen to that one more time.
Let's see if I still know how to split a log.
Thanks for listening to The Frequency. This episode featured reporting from Amy Kolb-Noyes, Liam Elder Connors, and Howard Weiss Tisman.
Our music is by Blue Dot Sessions, and our executive producer is Mark Davis.
I'm Anna Van Dyne.
And I'm Henry Epp. Talk to you on Monday.